All right, welcome back. Hour number two. We have a lot of information just piling up on the desk here. I've got to get it sorted out so we can present it to you in this hour. Always important material. Things are happening, whether you hear it or not. Guest last hour, Wyatt Peterson, terrific guest, and full grasp on what's happening, what's being done to us. Very smart man. So we'll have him back on, and do click on his name. Go take a look at his paper. Parallels between JFK, RFK, and 9/11. And they're right there. Let's see here. Okay. Now, one of the things I'm going to post, in fact, it may be the only thing initially, is called No Known Cure. All right? Now, this has to do with the vaccine injured and their efforts to fight against big pharma, big Zionist pharma, and the U.S. Zionist government. That, I added the two Zionists because they fit. They're appropriate. No known cure. It's got the same kind of ring as died suddenly. It's one of those things you can use in many different ways. Hello there, young lady.
Hello.
All right,
welcome,
you can go
to
home
Friday.
Now. Yeah, yeah.
Well, heat. Things are heating up.
I didn't, well, they are in every, I didn't sign up when I came to Oregon to live in Nevada. It's been so hot here for weeks, it's ridiculous. And this is not normal. If they want to burn it all down in the mountains, starting there, they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just dry as it could be. Crazy.
Waiting for a match.
No known cure. All right. Tell us a little bit about that. What do we got?
Well, this is the latest documentary on the plight of the vax-injured. And it's got a few prominent people that are interviewed and you know, giving their chronicle of what happened to them and where it stands in terms of pursuing compensation for their injuries. And it was just released yesterday. And we have Breon Dressen, who was the co-chair of the nonprofit organization React 19, along with Joel Walskog.
Oh, yeah, we had Joel on.
Yep, about 2 years ago. So, you know, things are being done. These people are not going to go away quietly. And so I haven't had an opportunity to watch the whole thing, but it looks pretty good. Just in case,
all right,
want a glimpse
put
of,
that,
of.
Yeah, I'll put that under our names and guests, and you all can take a peek. Take a peek.
We have a very short video clip of it, about a minute and a half. If you want to play that.
I'm loading it right now. Hold on a second. AstraZeneca clinical trial victim and co-chair of React 19. Yeah, these people, and I don't want to belabor this, but all of you out there who were forced into take or coerced, tricked, duped, deceived into taking the shots, you know, I hope you look at this program like it's for you. It's as much for you as it is for anybody, and that's a fact. We're trying to help everyone deal with this, each in their own way. So, all right, here, this is about a 90-second, it's kind of like a trailer.
Yeah.
Let me get it queued back
just
up here.
Excerpt.
Yeah. All right, here we go. This is a little clip from No Known Cure. All we have to do is get it to play. Come on. Come on. I may have to reload it. It was ready. I saw him moving his mouth. All right, let me reload the damn thing. Here we go. Okay, he's talking again.
I'm going to go out there and do the vaccine.
I'm going to back it up. Here we go.
A day after election, AstraZeneca is looking for clinical trial volunteers. I'm wanting to go out there and do the vaccine. You know, it's fine. I'll do it because I believe in this stuff. You go do it. Your name is Breanne Dressen. Immediately, you have symptoms.
It wasn't a matter of if I was going to get the vaccine. It was a matter of when. So I really felt privileged to be able to participate.
You go through the clinical trial. You're thinking nothing's going to happen. What happens?
Nobody was being believed when they were going into the ERs and saying, look, my legs aren't working. I got a shot 3 days ago. What's the problem? This federal government is now forcing OSHA to force the public to get their shots. But at the same time, we have this study going on that's confirming that there are some very concerning neurological complications to the COVID vaccine. We know for a fact that Fauci knew about this study because he personally met with two vaccine injured.
Is there any cure to what you're going through right now?
No, there is no cure. My condition will continue to decline until I pass away.
How much?
I'm sorry, I have to stop it there. I'm very sorry to hear that, but from somebody of Breanne's stature, that is something that needs to be underscored. That is what we have been fearing for 4 years, that no one is getting better. They're only incrementally sliding down more and more. And she just summed it up. Bang. Right on. Here. This is not what I like to hear.
Right now.
No, there is no cure. My condition will continue to decline until I pass away.
How much progress is being made for holding some of these guys accountable?
The laws are continuing to strip away the rights of the American people and give our rights to pharmaceutical companies and big corporations that want nothing more than for us to go away and die quietly. One of those threads should be investigated and those people should be held to account. This will happen again if we don't face this and address this now.
Okay, clearly a good documentary. We'll have that up again, posted shortly in guests. This is, this validates everything we were worried about. Just her saying that. Not that she's the only source.
And there is still nothing in mainstream media regarding the incredible suffering and disabilities that these people are enduring. Nothing.
Suffering. Absolutely suffering. These people, you people who are injured out there, are suffering. We know that. You're suffering 24 hours a day. And most all of you, maybe there are some who are getting better, but most all of you are just incrementally getting worse. And that's what these evil bastards did. This was all intentional. It's no joke.
And she's absolutely right. It's going to keep going unless or until, they're forced to take notice and stop. Which, there's so much money invested in this machine now. This genetic manipulation, genetic engineering, whatever it is they want to call it, that they really have no business doing. You know, when you start tinkering with the genetic code, we're in end times.
I don't see any way out of it. I hate saying that. I am not.
Well, it's going to come down to the individual. You have to say no.
Yeah.
To the best of your ability, say no.
And
don't comply.
And let me. I've had so many people, right? We have. And they ask the question. Is it okay to have sex with a vaxxed person? I'm not vaxxed. They actually ask that. Or is it okay if I date someone who's vaxxed and I'm not vaxxed? The answer is, for God's sakes, no, it's not. Unless you want to take this on and deal with it. Do you?
No, these are utter poisons. And we know now, we've known for 3 years that these things shed and spread, to varying degrees. And, we have increasing numbers of people who, you know, thought that was an exaggeration of some sort, that they would be okay. They just focus on boosting their immune systems, and they're realizing that, no, their immune systems are being damaged. We have people noticing now that their white blood cell counts are, you know, in decline.
Yes.
Which is a hallmark of immune deficiency.
Yep. That's why... You know, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the spike is known to do that. You know, there is a receptor on the T cells, the CD4 receptor that the spike can attach to, and when that happens, it will be destroyed. Just like in HIV. And, you know, is that happening to everybody? I don't know. But it is known to happen with the virus if you become infected with it. I mean, people suffer with low white blood cell counts for months after having had the infection. And now it appears that it may be the same situation if you just are a victim of shedding, just having been exposed to the spike itself.
I mean, the
environment is becoming contaminated with this stuff now.
The environment.
There are so many people that have taken these injections and that keep taking the injections that are shedding either all the time or intermittently, that everything's contaminated. The air, surfaces.
Intermittently would work. You're right. You're so right. I had to
Well,
go.
If you there are people who are shedding sensitive that can detect the different intensities of people who are shedding.
That must be some kind of a reading of photonic emissions from the number of spike that they're picking up. Something. They're reading it somehow.
Well, they are sensitive to the protein. They're hypersensitive to it.
Gotcha.
And if they're getting a big dose of it, they feel it. And you know, I say intermittently because, you know, it probably depends on hormone levels, stress levels, what the person's been eating. And I keep saying if they're eating a high-protein diet, they're probably going to be producing a lot of spike. That's why I have suspicions about this carnivore diet.
Sounds like a trick to me. I completely agree. Not to mention the price. Transfer of wealth, just keep thinking about that.
Yeah.
I had to go to the market today. I went to the least busy time of the day, and I had a hat on, mask on. I had the little item around my neck on, blowing ions. I had gloves on, and I got a cart, and I still held the handle by the outside edges, but I did what I had to do and got the hell out. And came home, took the gloves off, took the mask off, took off the other item, took the shirt off that I was out in, because your clothes pick the stuff up too.
Mm-hmm. They do.
I know that sounds paranoid to some of you. That's fine. That's okay. That's what I choose to do. It's not hard to do. I just choose that. I want to try to bend every advantage, and Erica feels the same way, toward remaining as relatively free of the virus and the spike and the mRNA as we possibly can, dealing with going out and living in a contaminated environment.
Yeah, it isn't easy. You know, you've got to make choices. And, you know, everybody has a different level of tolerance for risk.
Right.
And that's fine.
Remember Dear Abby?
Yeah.
I think she passed, but... Dear, I mean, can you imagine the letters that there must be out there on some of the... Dear Abby, I've steadfastly refused to have any vaccines, but I met this wonderful guy or wonderful woman, whatever. She's had two shots and a booster. She's very healthy, and we just get along so well. What should I do, Abby? Should I continue, or is there something else I should consider? And what would Dear Abby say if Dear Abby was well informed? Probably, are you crazy? Something like that. I don't know. Because it's not going to work. You can't avoid shedding.
No, I mean, it is a genetic modification. So these people are now producing foreign proteins that are shed into the environment. Even if they don't have symptoms. And in fact, I would argue that some of the people that don't have symptoms are the most dangerous.
Maybe.
Because you don't know that they're sick.
We've discussed that before, and they don't know that they're sick, so they're out transiting even more vigorously through society.
But give it time, because there's a trade-off for being able to tolerate producing this protein. They will suffer in time. It generally takes, months to years before either an autoimmune disease emerges or cancer.
Well, you get to a threshold and the stuff hits the fan and you get something. You go into an ER for a broken leg and you come out with a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer.
Well, that's just it. The immune system is turned down that much that the risk of cancer is very real. And we're seeing it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and it isn't just cancer. It's infections. You know, they're often teeming with viruses, bacteria and viruses. There's an epidemic of sepsis right now. I think we've covered that.
Yeah.
And sepsis is, an infection, bacteria in the bloodstream that shouldn't be there.
I wish more than anything that I could give some kind of an antidote, magic bullet, or at least something that was even 50% guaranteed to roll back this genetic invasion of your body and the changes that have happened. But the best I can offer, and we forgive the repetition, but you need to somehow understand that your immune system has been damaged, if not completely compromised in some cases. And if you take one Allicin C capsule a day, you're going to give yourself a tremendous advantage. And nutritionally, don't forget the bio superfood. Those two things, in my view, are the biggest 1-2 punch that you can deal to this terrible condition. Is it going to drive it all away? No. Is it going to give you a better chance to live a healthier, longer, more vibrant life? Yes. So don't put that aside. I would not talk about these things. You know me. I wouldn't mention this if I wasn't beyond certain that that's exactly what you're getting. The best you can make.
I look at the people who are managing better than others, and I have to say the ones that are really focus on the nutrition. You just cannot recover from the damage without the nutrients. The body runs on nutrients. It doesn't run on pharmaceutical drugs, painkillers, antidepressants. It runs on nutrients. So if your body is going to have any chance of repairing itself, you need that. And in particular, minerals, because it's the minerals that activate the codons in the DNA that drive the repair process, if there's going to be a repair process.
I walked through the nutrition section today and I didn't look for it, but caught my eye. Copper supplements.
Yeah, that's a real quandary right now because it's clear people are suffering from both deficiencies of copper and toxicity.
You
can't really correct it if the spike protein is present, because the spike protein appears to be chelating, stealing mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the copper from your body. So all the enzymes that depend on it are not functioning properly. And one of those enzymes is the enzyme needed to make heme. So that's one of the reasons porphyria is so prevalent now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other, you need a copper-based enzyme, a couple of them actually, to make collagen. And what do we have right now? An epidemic of collagen deficiency. Catalase deficiency.
Couple stories that had a very interesting punchline, that the only time they got results was by taking Allison.
These are people that...
What was that again? I forget the particulars, but it was a big story. They got well, or they got better, only with Allison.
Well, that was somebody in a multiple chemical sensitivities group that was sensitive to environmental chemicals, you know, what those were. That tends to vary with people. I mean, there's a long list of toxins that can bring that on, and once you have it, your life is miserable, and then that's partially what shedding is. It's this extreme sensitivity that whenever you encounter whatever it is you've been sensitized to, you get these symptoms that are just debilitating. So this person went to a Chinese medicine practitioner and was prescribed three things. One of them was terrible, the other one didn't do anything, and the third was Allison, and her symptoms resolved, within a day?
It was so quick, it was kind of spooky, yeah.
And my...
It worked fast.
My guess is that, you know, Allison has a lot of sulfur compounds in it, and the body does use sulfur to detoxify. Yeah. So maybe she was just lacking sulfur.
Hard to know, but the Allison was the resolution right there. So, as I've suggested, one capsule of Allison C a day, it is the best. I've handled it for 20 years now, and I've never seen anything. Somebody wrote about a week and a half ago, and if you're listening, thank you. And this was a woman, and she said, this is the greatest or best broad-spectrum antibiotic on the planet. And that's nice.
That's what it's known for.
Yeah, they use it in hospitals in the UK, but they don't tell the patients. They're just giving them Allison supplements. That's it. It's not going to interfere with anything you're taking. Nothing. It's just food. Think of it like that. That's its normal vector. It transits via food, garlic.
Yeah, okay. You know, and traditional antibiotics are actually mycotoxins.
Oh, they're terrible.
So they can be very harsh. I mean, they're effective as long as you don't get the antibiotic resistance.
Good
but
luck
they're very harsh.
Microbiome.
Oh, and sometimes your kidneys. They're very harsh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just for fun, how does tattooing work? How does the ink work in the lower levels of the skin? Do you remember that?
They're taken up by the resident macrophages, your white blood cells.
Your immune system attacks the ink.
Yeah, so it gobbles it up. These white blood cells gobble up the ink, and they stay there. Well, I mean, once these macrophages have taken up residence in their tissues, whatever tissues they're destined for, that's where they stay. And so the ink is actually... been internalized by these white blood cells.
Unreal. I see tattoos. Well, we all see tattoos all the time. Hopefully not our own, but they're there, and people don't know how they work.
Very much in vogue.
Yeah. Think of all the lampshades. Okay. Next. What's next here?
Since we're on the topic of vaccine injuries, there is a guy up in Canada, Daniel Hartman, whose son, whose name is Sean, died from the Pfizer shot. And he was 17 years old and was forced to get a vaccine if he wanted to play hockey. His father has been very, very distraught over it and is seeking justice for his son. And he managed to find one attorney in Canada who's willing to take the case. Now, the interesting thing is Canada did not give full immunity to Pfizer for injuries, unlike the U.S.
An oversight.
And... Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but anyway, so this very astute lawyer was able to determine that, you know, we actually have a case here. Let's Let's pursue it. So I guess just a short clip with this attorney, Umar Sheikh, and Angela, what's her name? Angela something.
Lansbury. All right.
No, Angela Wood. Umar Sheikh and Angela Wood.
All right, here we go.
So this is kind of big news for Canadians. They may actually somewhere with this.
Some life left to pursue these things here.
Okay, we've taken a hit. You know, let's keep going. And then we get contacted by this father named Dan Hartman. And his son, Sean Hartman, who's 17 years old, he's a hockey player, perfectly healthy young man. And 33 days post-injection, the family found the body next to his bed upstairs in Houston.
They sent him home, and on the morning of September 27th, his mother found him dead on the floor beside his bed. And all he wanted to do was play hockey.
And so we sat there with this case, and we knew what it would take to take this on. And there was all this nonsense out there that you can't sue Pfizer. They're immune. Everyone was telling me. And I was like, okay, let's find out if they're immune. And so we formulated a lawsuit against biotech in Germany and against Pfizer, U.S. and Pfizer Canada, and filed that for wrongful death and negligence against them on behalf of Sean Hartman, who had died. That lawsuit was the only one, it is the only one in North America against Pfizer that's currently in place that actually has a chance of getting discovery out of Pfizer. The U.S. granted Pfizer immunity. Canada did not. And so I was able to exploit that hole.
You know, so Canadians didn't even know.
I know.
They
well,
were very happy.
Why
about
would
it.
They?
They didn't know.
You know, they don't want people knowing that.
No. Here we go.
We're back and forth with two of the largest law firms in Canada, and they're willing to put billions to prevent disclosure of evidence. We will get that evidence. We're not going to stop it. So we're hard at work at that case right now as well. So that's heartbreak.
All right, there it is. That's all we have on that little clip. But I have several feelings about these things. Bravo for going after Pfizer. But you're never going to get your little boy back, your little girl back, your wife back, your sister, your brother. Those wounds will never heal. There's nothing too severe for Pfizer or Moderna that I can think of by way of a punishment.
No.
And I think that they all should be held personally accountable. That's
criminally accountable.
Say that again?
Criminally.
Yeah,
as opposed to
I hope they win, but these bastards have insurance. They have insurance. They're not going to feel anything. They don't give a damn. In a worst-case scenario, they just declare bankruptcy and open up under some other name, some other LLC or whatever they choose to do. I don't know. It's just, we're just being ravaged as a species by our own kind.
Well, again, you know, people have got to wake up to what's happening.
No doubt.
Or it's going to continue.
You just heard them all applaud. They didn't even know.
I know.
Okay. All right. Well, again, I think that the level of ignorance out there, and I'm talking in a benign sense, that most people have still after 4 years. Yes, some of them are waking up, but most of them really don't get it. There's denial where they don't want to get it. They don't want to think about it. This the whole thing is beyond belief. All right, what else do we have here now? Let's see. We got my wife.
Let's do some Harry CHT. Fisher. Let's do
right.
Harry Fisher.
Okay. Let me find Harry. Okay. Now, Harry Fisher on vaccidence. Here's an interesting story that he put. Harry Fisher is the paramedic who is speaking out very bravely, very forthrightly. He doesn't play games. All right, I'll read the first part. You got it?
Yep.
All right, this is he's a paramedic. He's responding to an MVA, a motor vehicle accident. Arrived to find a patient in driver's seat of vehicle saying, "Where am I?" Vehicle had driven off the road and hit a building and gone inside the building, narrowly missing two cars prior to launching over the curb and hitting the building. This is a report from bystanders. PD.
Police.
Department. Police department. On scene. We thought he was drunk, but don't smell any alcohol. Thank God nobody was in that building. Paramedic me speaking to the patient still in the car. What's your name? Are you in any pain? Patient. State's name. No, I'm not. Where am I? Paramedic me. You've been in an accident. What do you remember? And then Harry says, I proceed with patient assessment and treatment prior to vehicle extrication. He's still in the car. During additional communications with him. Patient. I remember leaving my friend's house. And Harry says, no smell of alcohol. Nothing noted, no signs of drinking. Patient has urinated upon himself. Possible seizure noted. FSBS, normal range. Pupils equal and reactive. Paramedic me to the driver. Can you tell me what year it is? Do you take any medications daily? Patient is now alert. And he remembered the year and himself. He remained unable to recall the event, however. Patient says, no medications. I don't get sick. Paramedic, Harry, have you ever had a seizure? Patient, no. Harry Fisher says, have you taken any COVID vaccines? Patient, still trapped in the car. Yes, I even got my booster. I had COVID after my first two shots, so I got my booster. Why? Paramedic, me. Well, we've been seeing a lot of strokes, heart attacks, and seizures after people take the COVID shots. Patient, still trapped in the car. I thought that was a conspiracy theory. Harry Fisher, no. Sadly, it's not. Go ahead.
Thankfully, this patient didn't hit anyone during his first-time seizure. Many of us in the medical community are calling them vaccidents, meaning accidents possibly caused by the vaccine. The amount of seizures and single-car accidents I've personally ran since the rollout of the shots is immense. It's been so drastic that I worry every time I have a vaccinated EMT partner or a vaccinated EMT partner that drives me.
Oh my.
Getting on planes these days is worrisome as well.
Yeah.
Stay alert to your surroundings. You never know when someone is going to have one of these episodes. Praying for the victims. God bless.
Yes, I'll try and post this later on under our names. There's a picture of the automobile busted right through the outside wall of this, looks like an office of some kind.
And actually, he makes a point of saying that the pictures he includes are just
illustrative
file photos.
Got it.
They're not
just for illustration. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I won't post it then, but we get the idea. Okay. There's one. Then we have Harry Fisher, labor and delivery saga.
Yeah, this one is bizarre.
I think most of them are. All right, I'll take the first part. Get ready. arrived to find an altered patient screaming in a closet. Patient is screaming, "You can't have it. I hate you." Fire department on scene states, "We can't get her out of the closet. I think she's in labor. She just keeps screaming at us." "Upon walking into the closet," says Harry Fisher, "I realized that the light in the closet wouldn't work. The fireman holding a flashlight so I could see the situation helped." Paramedic me to the woman, "Ma'am, how far along are you?" Patient, "Laying on back under clothing that are hanging in the closet. Fresh cuts noted on both arms. Heavy bleeding noted." Patient screams, "Blank you. You can't have it. We are going to die." Harry Fisher responds, "I don't want either of you to die. I'm here to help. Can you tell me what year it is?" Patient, 1764. Go ahead.
"Due to the inability to give the correct year, fresh cuts to the arm, inactive labor, the patient deemed altered and endangering life. Care initiated under implied consent." Paramedic, Harry, "I'm going to help you and your baby. Crowning noted, i.e. baby's head. Fire department assisting with light and holding the patient's hand so she couldn't hit me. Unable to move the patient at this time due to imminent delivery with concerns of trauma to patient and baby. Newborn delivered in closet, suctioned, cord clamped, cut after pulsation, delivery protocols initiated. Patient 2, the baby, good cry, color, movement, and condition. Baby given to partner for safety and warmth with blanket ready. Patient, mother, now speaking normal tone, what happened? Is my baby okay? Paramedic, me, yes, your baby is good, right outside the closet with my partner waiting on you. Can we please move you to my cot for transport to the hospital? We still have to deliver the placenta en route, and you've lost a lot of blood. You need fluids, and I should monitor both of you on the way to the hospital. Patient, yes, thank you. What happened? I explained the situation again. Patient placed on cot for transport. En route to the emergency department, patient now fully alert, giving appropriate answers to all questions, denies suicidal ideation, wound care provided, IV with fluids initiated. I ask her, ma'am, do you have any medical history? Take any medications daily? Patient replies, just normal stuff for pregnancy. I don't have any other medical problems. I say, do you remember getting into the closet? Did you cut yourself? She replies, I don't remember. I've been having trouble remembering things lately. The other day I woke up walking outside of my home. I ask her, what do you mean, woke up? She replies, it was like one moment I was watching TV, and the next moment I was outside. I ask her, have you taken any of those COVID shots? She replies, yes. I'm completely protected. I just got my second Pfizer shot 3 days ago. I wasn't supposed to have my baby this early.
Well,
in conclusion, he says, I attributed the early birth to possible vaccine complications. Thankfully, this child lived. Many don't. It wasn't until later on when doctors and scientists began speaking about mental problems in connection to the vaccine did I connect the dots. Mental problems, brain fog, suicide, suicidal ideation, among many other horrible side effects, are said to be possibly caused by the COVID vaccine. The mRNA technology is dangerous on many levels. It is death by a thousand cuts. Praying for the victims. God bless.
Yeah. Well, several things pop up. She's lost a lot of blood. I don't know what Harry's position is on transfusions. I would estimate it's probably similar to ours, no transfusions. So hopefully she didn't need a transfusion. But after two shots and nearly killing her baby, I think that birth was triggered by as a side effect of the vax. It throws the whole body into, we've heard this so many times, complete confusion. Body must have just freaked out.
Harry adds to that, I have many people after my license for telling what I have experienced. I'm under constant attack. I receive death threats. Also, people call my board to get my license removed. They want me gone. They want me to stop warning you. If you would like to assist me in this fight, I would appreciate if you would pre-order my book. The powers that be don't want this information out. Every book purchased is assisting someone on the front line. Thank you, Harry Fisher, NRP, at fishersbook.com.
fishersbook.com.
Yep.
All right. There are paramedics out there who are unsung heroes. He's certainly one of them. They're working with knowledge. They're working in great danger. I don't know how he could not get shed upon every day, virtually.
Oh,
by
anybody, anybody in the medical profession like that is you know.
Right.
At very increased risk, but it's what they do.
All right. That was another good one. We had a... where's that Airbus? Oh, there it is.
Oh, and on the topic of accidents, we've got that story out of New Hampshire. It was posted just the other day. 10 dead in 9
yeah.
separate crashes in
yeah,
New Hampshire over the past few days.
Let me find it. I read it. Or I saw it, rather. Where the hell is it?
I've got it if you don't have it.
It was a news story, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead and play it. I can't find it.
It
should
is it
work.
A video? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's a video. I was going to play it. What is the time you sent it to me?
Well, you sent it to me, or you sent it back to me this morning sometime. I can play it.
Okay. Go ahead. Let's see how it works.
Okay.
Concord Police tells News 9 one person was killed in a motorcycle crash this afternoon. Officers were called to Washington Street and Fowler Street. This crash makes 10 road deaths across the state since Friday. WMR's Isabel Laturst is live in Hooksett right now. And Isabel, you spoke with state police about this today.
That's right. We've just seen crash after crash. And with each one of those accidents, there are people in grief. Tonight, we hear from some of them.
We're all humans. We're all capable of the love and the trust in everybody. And I think we're all getting away from that.
25-year-old Colin Zarembo worked at Laconia Harley-Davidson with his friends.
I worked for Colin. Him and I connected, like, immediately. He'd call me his 50-year-old best friend.
Police say Zarembo was on his bike in Alton Sunday evening when he hit an F-150. That was his last ride.
Yeah, this is a tragic loss.
This week, his friend Marty learned that this is a small world and a deadly one. He also knew 8-year-old Aria Enkeso. She died in a head-on crash in Loudoun on Friday.
I own a DJ business, and her and her mother used to come sing, and I don't get it. You know, I don't know. People just need to pay more attention.
Aria's obituary was released today. Aria would have been a third grader at Elm Street School in Laconia this fall, where she loved school. She enjoyed singing, dancing, swimming, photography, art, makeup, and video games, especially Fortnite. Marty says this weekend has put time into perspective.
You don't have to be in a hurry to get somewhere. We don't have to be, always thinking about ourselves. We got to think about everybody around us.
8 other people have died in crashes over the past few days. From Loudoun to Conway, Jaffrey, Hampton Falls, Alton, Belmont, Guilford, and now Concord as well. Police say this many deaths in such a short period of time is just not normal. Live in Hooksett, Isabel Litterst, WMUR, News 9.
I think these are situations that are happening much more frequently around the country than you'll ever hear about. You just won't.
Well, yeah.
By the way, if you're, I don't know if the bike, if the guy on the bike was shot up or not, or the guy in the truck was. I don't know the circumstance of the accident, but you've got to be, if you're ride a bike, you've got to be doubly careful, doubly.
Yeah, I agree. But
well,
you know,
I have
you've
one,
got people
boy,
blacking
I leave
out.
Distance. I leave distance. I stay. I keep a lot of room. Go ahead.
Yeah, you've got to be on guard these days. You know that there are people driving that shouldn't be driving, for sure.
Lots of them, driving a 2,000-pound vehicle, essentially in semi-control. It's not a joke.
Mm.
Okay. What else do we have here? We have a future of food. Was that one that we wanted to look at, or is that something for me?
What was that?
Three predictions on food.
Oh, that was, yeah. Well, the usual. We'll be eating bugs here shortly, and lab-grown meat.
All right, well, let's do this real quick. Unless you have another one we want to get in.
No, go ahead.
It's a short video and then a reader.
Michael.
All right, here we go.
Predictions.
Okay.
I've got three predictions. One is that in the next 10 years, the dairy industry as we know it today, where cows produce milk, will be gone. It will be plant-based alternative milks. All milks made by precision fermentation. The second prediction is that also within 10 years, the meat industry will be half either plant-based foods or foods derived from what's called cellular agriculture. And the third is that within 10 years again, half of the world's fish will be produced in factories. We already have the products. All we need is the scale, the money, and the will.
Well, what we need is more videos without music. Gets to be a little mucky in there. Anyway, his three predictions were, as you said, pretty much what we've already heard. He said this guy is a billionaire investor who runs the largest cellular agriculture investment firm in the world. Cellular agriculture.
Yeah, so that's, they're going to be using vectors, cells that can produce proteins, and then harvesting those proteins to make whatever, your Impossible Burger, whatever it's going to be. But some of the concerns have to do with that, these cell cultures are immortalized.
Right.
You know, and that's another name for cancer.
Henrietta
so,
Lacks?
Yeah. I don't know if it's those or I believe the kidney cells. I don't know what they're already using those kidney cells for expression products, flavorings and things like that. That company Sinomix is that's where they get their flavorings from. So if you have a cell culture, you can transfect it with the code for whatever protein it is you want to make, and there you have it. So they're going to be just ramping up. As he said, it's just a matter of scaling up for now, and then we'll have those products ready to go. And then in the meantime, we have farm animals, what's left of them, going to be injected with mRNA vaccines, which, hasn't this present one already shown us that the expression products are, in many cases, amyloidogenic, at least as far as this spike protein goes? So you're going to have these animals with amyloids in their tissues that you're going to be eating. What does that mean for you?
You know,
it's not so much that I have less concern about the mRNA surviving long enough to make it into a human after, cooking and slaughtering. But
throw
the expression
steak
products
on the Barbie. Right, I got it.
It's the expression products. What types of proteins? Because it's the proteins that are going to interact with your microbiome and potentially get into your bloodstream and interact with your immune system. And if these are amyloid-like or, God forbid, outright prions, it's not going to be good.
This the whole prion thing again. There's so many gigantic issues with this fight against humankind. Prions, they're always there, always lurking. The text with this says, briefly, this is why we're seeing a disruption in the food supply. It's by no means an accident. They're preparing us for insect protein meats, plant meats, and lab-grown meats, as well as 3D printed meats. Highly pasteurized plant milks, factory farmed fish. That's the dirtiest meat in the world, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All under the guise of cutting carbon emissions. What horseshit this is. The justification of all this is beyond a lie. It's a transparent lie. Hey, let's not talk about geoengineering, weather, warfare, modification, degradation of our soil, monoculture, factory farming, pesticide usage, contamination of the oceans, destruction of phytoplankton in the seas because of acid rain and deforestation. Let's not talk about that.
No. It's just, you know, cows farting.
I'm really amazed at how stupid their excuses are, and that most
people
can't.
Well, they think we're dumb.
They, well, in many cases we are. I'm sorry. I don't like to say that.
Right.
But they are. People are. They just don't get it. They've been overwhelmed. They're abused. They don't live in a reality that really matters much. It's the reality of our keepers. That's the reality we live in.
Yeah, we are victims of that. That's for sure.
Is the ball game on tonight? I forgot.
I'll have to check.
Get the beer out. Let's sit back and relax. God, ancient Rome had nothing on us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Bread and circuses. They knew. They knew how to do it. Of course, they weren't in the business of wiping out their entire population, or most of it.
Yeah, who are they going to sell all these products to once everybody's gone?
I think they're envisioning a whole new paradigm of a much smaller market, and I think they're getting ready for it. They call our population reduction, this mass genocide, they call it decarbonizing the planet. We're referred to as carbon units. Decarbonization.
Yeah,
and a lot of our listeners don't, but yes, we do. All right. You want to recite a poem or anything before we say goodnight?
I don't know. Can we sneak one reader in? What do we got?
Yeah, we got a lot.
Oh, we can do the plane. The plane that had to turn around.
Go ahead, do the plane. This is interesting. This is a big, big plane. The Airbus 360, I think it is.
Airbus 380.
380.
Flying, was it from somewhere in Canada to London, had to turn back when the powerful scent of laundry detergent made people feel sick and dizzy. British Airways A380 was diverted because of a strong smell of laundry detergent. The flight from Washington, D.C. to London Heathrow made an emergency landing in Boston. The scent was later found to have come from 5 pallets of laundry beads in the cargo hold. Now, I don't know, a couple things come to mind.
So they say.
Yeah, I guess we have to take them at their word, right? Mm. But that must have been overpowering to divert a plane.
How could laundry beads not be in cases or containers? That doesn't make sense.
Well, here's the thing. That laundry detergent smell is a hallmark of
common
shedding.
Yep.
Whether the aldehydes that are coming off of people who have been vaxxed and those who have been sensitized to that smell.
About 30 seconds. We've got to hurry. Go ahead.
The vast majority of the population is now becoming increasingly sensitive to the smell of aldehydes, which are, inherent in laundry fragrances. Those are aldehydes that you're smelling. And they're noxious. If you're not up to detoxifying them, if your liver's struggling, which we have a lot of liver issues now, you're probably going to be very sensitive to aldehydes. And maybe it was that strong that most people couldn't handle it.
Don't know. It wouldn't surprise me to see an increase in people sensitized to odors, though, and beginning to smell them.
Oh, that's definitely happening. That is definitely happening.
All right. Well, we'll talk
a lot
about
of environmental sensitivity coming around, multiple chemical sensitivity, environmental illness. Yeah.
Great. All right. Good job, as always. We put out a lot of information this week. Hope you all out there are paying attention. Share these programs. They're for everybody. So have at it. Thank you for being here, all of you. And thank you, young lady. Talk soon.
Okay.